you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. I am Ms. Shen, and here with my regular co-host and podcast life mate, Mr. Jayton Satia, Executive Director of the Twin Cities Film Fest. Hello, Jayton. How is it going? I do want to also say happy birthday to Jayton Satia.
Hey, it's me. It's me.
Yay, you successfully thank you. Made it's it going to well. Birthday.
I stayed home. I COVID birthdayed it.
Yes.
We ordered food from Crave to help support just our, you know, yep. I live around the West End. So yep. any and all the restaurants around here. My son woke me up by singing happy birthday to me, which was awesome. It was good. It was good. It's weird to have a birthday where last year, my wife, who is a professional dancer, she actually choreographed a flash mob.
Right. For, I remember. It was fantastic.
It surprised me at the Loop at the West End. Like, we just went out for dinner. This was last year, and it was my 40th last year. So all of a sudden, there's this flash mob of dancers because she also runs a flash mob company. So anyways, from that to, like, literally singing happy birthday to me in my living room with two other people, that's more my vibe anyways, and you know that. But it was good.
Jayton, the fact that that is your vibe, just hanging out in your living room, is part of the reason why we try to bombard you with all of these other things. Because
right.
I know.
You get me out of the comfort zone as I'm looking at my screen here. I saw two women dancing to our opening credits, which I don't think we've ever had, which was amazing. So I love this.
It brings us to our guest geeks today. We're very excited to have them on. They are also hosts of their own podcast, the Hyperbole Podcast. So joining us today, Ms. Danielle Fagri Arlo and Amy Zeroff. Hello, ladies. Thanks for joining us here on The Geek Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And happy birthday.
See?
Thank you very much.
Everybody was very excited for that. And I will probably use a little piece of your pre-dance on the promo for this, because it was giving me joy. It was giving me so much joy. And Jayton can dance, and his wife is a professional dancer, and they don't dance that much to my theme music. So
nope.
I think that suddenly we have seen how much you should appreciate our theme music, Jayton. You know how hard it took me to find that song?
I love it. I bounce my head every time I listen to it. So I'm good. I appreciate you. I got you.
The only way Danielle and I get into our own podcast is through that kind of dancing. I mean, that is what amps us up.
Well, and I think it's fantastic because when you, we do this and we ask this question of all of our guest geeks, we go, what is it that excites you? What is it that you love talking about? And what is it that maybe your friends, your families, your loved ones are sick of you talking about? And that's what we encourage you to come on our show and geek out about. And it was fascinating when I asked Amy, because I met her first, and she said, oh, Danielle and I, we talk about reality TV shows. And I got excited because that honestly is a giant blind spot in my fandoms. I don't watch a lot of reality TV shows. Enough of my geek-related fan sites do follow them, so I am familiar with the concept of all of these things, but I don't really watch them. So thank you very much for bringing this in. And I told them our show was only 45 minutes, so that they had to pare it down, and that was very difficult for them. They still sent me like six. And of the six that they sent, this is part of the reason why I'm not a good fan of reality shows, because every reality show seems to have 18 spinoffs. Because what they threw back at me, Jayton, is they told me, okay, well, we're real fans of The Real Housewives. And
sure.
It sounds like, Danielle, you are a fan of all of the 25 franchises.
Yes.
Housewives.
Yeah. Do you want me to list them in order?
Yes. Could you please? Because I have
okay.
no clue.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for asking.
Yes.
First is Real Housewives of Atlanta, then Real Housewives of Potomac. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is brand new, but it's way up there already. Then I'm going to go Beverly Hills, New York, New Jersey,
okay.
OC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you are also a fan of Real Housewives, Amy, but not all of the franchises. So of the umpteen that Danielle just mentioned, which ones do you still stand?
Danielle, I'm sorry, but did you skip Dallas on purpose?
Oh my gosh, you're right. Dallas should be, that's a good point, Amy, I'm sorry. Where do you think Dallas should be in there? I think maybe right between
top with Beverly Hills and New York. Sadly, we don't know if we're going to get a full Beverly Hills because several of them have COVID right now. But and I'm very sorry about that, by the way, as you can hear in the tone of my voice, but I really am sorry about it. But I really still believe that New York, Beverly Hills, Jersey, and Dallas are the top four. Okay.
But see, she skipped the best ones, which are Atlanta and Potomac, which is sad.
I'll give you Atlanta. I do enjoy Atlanta. Potomac actually had a really wonderful last episode of their season.
Okay.
But she does enjoy Salt Lake City a little more than I would, because there's way too much plastic surgery happening in Utah.
It does. I've seen the articles written about that particular part of the franchise, where it has made him like a lot of, I believe what I read were the Mormon counterparts were trying to clap back and say, we are not always that attached to plastic surgery. Is that your experience from watching that show, though?
There are, the whole religious aspect is really interesting, because, you know, we've seen sort of, you know, Jesus Barbie type stuff on Real Housewives before, but we've never seen a deep dig into a bunch of different religions.
Yes.
So on Salt Lake City, you've got Mormonism, you've got sort of Mormonism 2.0, where the people are say that they're Mormons, but they drank. You've got a Pentecostal preacher.
Yes.
And you've got someone who was born Mormon, but is converting to Islam. It's a pretty interesting mixture. And two of the women, one who's Mormon and one who isn't, are Jewish.
Okay.
So the one who is says that she was born Jewish and chooses Mormonism.
Okay.
It's the whole thing is like beyond fascinating. And yes, a couple of them look so much alike, and I don't know if that's by nature or by science.
That response that you had, Danielle, right there, where you're like, oh, wait, that is why I love fans of reality TV programs, because I feel like every time I go, well, tell me about the show, there's always a moment they're like, oh, wait, and then this happened. And do you think that part of it is, although we do know, you know, and I don't like to go completely behind the curtain, just like I am a friend with a number of people who are magicians, and people always go, well, you know, it's a trick. I don't care. Don't ruin the squeeze. So I do know that, yes, in reality, all of our reality shows probably have a producer who is assisting in pulling the strings. Now, ignoring all of that, is it that these people that we watch in these shows are willing to give such a bizarre level of access to their real lives on a continual basis? Is that part of the joy? That's kind of what I see.
Well, I would say absolutely. On our podcast, we've actually had the pleasure of interviewing the executive producer of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And interestingly, Miss Shannon, he actually steps back. It's less produced than we think, at least in that franchise.
Okay.
I can tell that Salt Lake City is probably a little more produced right now, because this is their first season. They're getting into the swing of things. But you have to be a very special kind of human to allow that kind of access to yourself and your family for that many years.
Yes. And you come back and you come back. And we know that they, from the behind the scenes things that I've read, we know that they do get paid. But when you're a real housewife, a lot of it is the image. So you still have to spend a lot of money, which they probably would have spent anyway, because they're real housewives. But
and I think that's part of the appeal. It's this sort of, it's this glamour lifestyle. It's kind of like back to the 80s. It's sort of subconsciously Dallas and Falcon Crest and stuff. But interestingly, the OC, which is the original one, you start to think that those women really aren't that wealthy. None of them own their own homes. They all rent them. They seem to all be living beyond their means, which is its own interesting perspective.
Right. Okay. Now, Jayton, did you see the rest of the list they had? Because there's a couple of them that I've seen bits and pieces of. So I know about Below Deck, which I watched that for a while. I tried to watch that just because I already don't like ships and boats. And so to see like people who are willing to like live that lifestyle, what drew you into that show?
I think, again, it's an upstairs downstairs kind of thing. There's the glamour of the absurd people who would want to spend a gazillion dollars for a couple nights on a boat, but they do expect this beyond four-star service. And so then you see these sort of beautiful deckhands and stewardesses and amazing chefs trying to make them happy, sometimes really delivering, sometimes not. And but then it's also so frustrating because it's like you've got one job and that's to keep these people's drinks filled and they can't sometimes do that. But
well, they can, but they're hemming it up for the show.
Maybe that's it.
There wouldn't be conflict if everybody did their job.
Well, that's true. And to that end, why did they sign up to live in like a 2-foot by 3-foot, you know, bunk?
Right.
Really, they're on top of each other, and some of them don't want to be on top of each other. But then those that do want to be on top of each other are, and that makes for good television.
Right.
I think so. And I think that it's the tips. They live for the tips. And yet, you know, to Jayton's point, they could do a lot more to earn more tips than they sometimes do. Sometimes they don't see the, you know, the forest for the trees.
Right. Right. Another show that I am slightly familiar with, and it's of the ones that you suggested, it was the one that I'm like, I think I would like that, and I wish I paid more attention to it. It was 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes. Hello. Now listen, Danielle was a late adopter to this.
Okay.
Were you not, Danielle?
I was, and I only watch what is sort of the abbreviated version. If you're not willing to go in all the way,
yes,
you can dip your toe in with Pillow Talk, which is sort of the abbreviated once a week version.
So this is how Danielle pretends that she knows what we're talking about each week. Goes to Pillow Talk, 90 Day Fiance, Pillow Talk.
Yes.
And basically it's past 90 day participants who are now watching from the comfort of their bed or their couch, and giving little tidbits of feedback
the director's cut, where the director is talking over themselves, like, this is where I shot this, and like.
So Danielle, she really sounded very well versed for a couple of weeks, and I couldn't figure out how. I mean, yeah, she must have really spent a lot of time catching up, and then she let it out and she said, oh, I just watch Pillow Talk. But here's the cool part about TLC. Every single show they do, there's 58 different renditions of that show,
right,
to hook you in on Friday and on Sunday and on Wednesday. And so there's before the 90 days, after the 90 days, the Pillow Talk, the whatevers. I mean, like, it just keeps going and going.
Yes.
And there are some very serious stories that I can't unsee.
And Amy and Jayton, I need to be honest, because Jayton knows this about me, but I'm very similar in certain fandoms to what Danielle does. Like, I am a universe wide and only like an inch deep on a couple of them, because there's just some bloggers or vloggers or people that I'm like, I just watch the recaps. Like, I don't, like, I know enough to go, oh yeah, that's what's happening. And they were on season 75 of it and there was a scandal. And so,
I think the Pillow Talk version's less depressing, because it is kind of, I mean, these are sort of, you know, when you get right down to it, this is basically a mail order situation,
yeah,
female and male, sometimes going abroad to live there as Americans, sometimes bringing people for a better life in America. It's a little bit of a sad story, but somehow having the people who have been successful as couples, or at least are entertaining, even if they haven't been successful, commenting on it somehow keeps it a little bit light. Plus, then we still have time for things that are really important, like Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders making the team.
Oh, wow. See, I've never watched
that. How she got that in.
Yeah. I'm glad that you're an evangelist for that, because I've never watched it, but they play a promo for it on a channel that I watch quite often. And there seems to be a lot of tears, some falling, you know, some things, I don't know. So what's the appeal of that particular show?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked, Ms. Shannon, because it's so important. And it's been going on for about 16 years.
Wow.
And when it first started,
has been around
yes,
for 16 years.
Yes, yes. And it is the real tryouts for the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders every year. And the first season, so it used to only be available on like the Country Music Channel, which,
yeah,
in spite of having every channel, I don't somehow have that. So I'd have to buy
seasons.
CMT?
Oh,
no.
Okay.
So I would have to buy seasons and watch them like on iTunes or whatever. But the way it used to be, it's evolved over the years a little bit. It used to be that they could do things like comment on their weight and stuff, and now they can't do that. So 16 years ago, just for people who don't have time to go back, it would be like Shawnee, Misty with a Y, Misty with an I, Candy with an I, Brandy. You are too fat to dance now. And also you're not a very good dancer. And then they'd be like, Shawnee or Misty be like, yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Now it's like, listen, Michaela, Lacey, you, because it's 16 years later, you aren't really keeping up. Your pace isn't there. It's still the answers. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Wow.
Because I could saw, be better. The promo that I saw was, it's this is where the tears came. Like, first, there was one of the is it the coaches or who makes the decisions?
Yeah.
So the coach was going, have you ever cheered before? Like, and this woman was not that bad. I was like, okay, she's crushing it. And they're like, have you cheered before? And then, so she looked crushed. And then you see her doing that crying, but trying to like not mess up her mascara cry where she's like, never give up your dreams. And yeah. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. This is the worst.
Thank you for the opportunity, right? Ma'am. I'll be back. I'll work on that.
Right. And I'm like, back. You just dashed her hopes with a... Like, that was a cruel, cruel coach, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, and one other thing, speaking music from the beginning of your show.
Yes.
So your music at the beginning of the show is 1,000 times better than the music on Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders Making the Team. And now that it's on MTV, they'll have like one real song per show.
Oh,
but all the other times they're dancing, it's fake music that they've piped in. They don't want to pay the credits for
right.
the real music.
Oh, and I agree. We're the same way. I have a whole list of songs that sound ish like other songs. That's my whole thing where I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about, hey, today we're going to talk about a dating show. So I found a dating type song kind of thing. You know, like that's my whole life is going, okay, what are we going to talk about today? Oh, okay, well, we got, somebody's going to talk today. So let's talk about, we need a polka song.
I go to sleep to that.
Here's my favorite one that we don't ever use is this one. Because the song title has nothing to do with the actual song a lot of times. It's called Baking Cakes. And it just reminds me, if we were talking about another, one of the kind of reality shows that I watch, those reality competitions, those like Great British Baking Show, this would be in the background while they were like getting their flowers together for the sponge. You know, that kind of thing. So I agree, you know, I understand the producers over there going, how can I set the tone but not spend any money on royalties?
Right.
Because that is not the point of this show at all. But do you think sometimes, is that part of it, like the way when they're setting up, because some of these shows that you've watched for multiple seasons, have you really been able to see an evolution of like the first time you could tell that they were super low budget and the lighting was wrong and they didn't take them any place fancy. It was like, and then we went to the Olive Garden, you know, or something where they could kind of turn it into a sponsor rep and then it evolves.
Well, here's where you see that with the Real Housewives franchise. In season one, now with Salt Lake City, it's not fair to say because they already have their plastic surgery.
Yes.
But in season one, most people have not yet watched themselves on camera and said, I need to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
By season 10, 11, 12, they're an entirely new person. Sometimes you don't recognize them at all.
Sometimes they're the only person that I noticed with that was Lisa Rinna. And I don't even know when she started. And I don't even remember which one she's on. But I know she's on it. And I was like, you look a lot different. That's a different Rinna, you know, kind of thing. Nothing
different except
bad.
For the lips. The lips have maintained throughout all of the seasons.
Fair enough.
You know, that she started with those. She led with the lips.
Yes.
But the other thing is that then when the sponsorship started happening, for example, in New York, Danielle, you might recall that Cool Sculpting started sponsoring, and all of a sudden, not only were we watching them get Cool Sculpting and sometimes vaginal rejuvenation, but all of these things. And then folks were sponsoring that happening on camera.
Fascinating. And I can't get mad at them. I'm like, there's been times like, you know, I had braces a few years ago, and that was because somebody offered, they're like, hey, we'll pay for it. Okay, then let's do that. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I will talk about getting your braces. When you go back to, and we'll go back to Real Housewives and then see how this dovetails into some of these. And I start with that because I'm familiar with the way that some of those, the Real Housewife, their main characters, how they have been able to spin it into their own cooking line, their own clothing line, a really terrible album, those kind of things. And so are there certain ones that you think just really were able to really understand, okay, I'm a brand and a business and I can spin it into something else? Do you have certain favorites that have managed to do that in the reality world?
So I'm a total sucker for a Real Housewives or other Bravo Liberty product. And I will say
Bravo
that
Liberty. Wait, the pause, latest pause.
Yes.
That was perfect. Please go back to that. who coined that phrase, because I'm going to use it all the time now. And I'll give you credit for it, unless I should say Andy Cohen made it up. Like, where did that come from?
The Bravo lever. I'm sure. Yeah. Andy Cohen or somebody else. But it's because it's, you know, the multiple shows, like Shaws of Sunset famously had someone who believed in the power and the magic of diamonds. And so she was going to make this magically infused diamond water where she sort of bought one, I mean, big for a ring, but small for an enterprise of water that runs through it diamond. And so I bought like a case of diamond water, which came like 6 to 8 months after I ordered it, like kind of all jacked up and fallen over in the box and half frozen, but it was awesome. And it's, I can go downstairs and get one. I still have them. And she's also now that same woman is into making, what are those called?
Caftans.
Yeah, she's a caftan lady now. I did order a sweater from Nene Leakes from Home Shopping. Okay. And Amy has seen that. It's actually kind of fabulous. And she had her own kind of clothing line. I think one of the most successful ones, besides obviously Bethany Frankel and Skinny Girl Margarita, and she's got a bunch of other, you know, Skinny Girl products. I think actually Tamra Judge, who's now been kicked off of the OC, she's got a CBD line of, like, I think CBD infused teas and bath things and lotions. And I think actually that's been somewhat successful.
And I know somebody had wigs for a while. I remember them talking about her wig line.
A couple wig. That's funny you should say that, because most recently someone from Potomac has a wig line. I don't know if Kim Zolciak, now Tardy for the Party, formerly Atlanta, if she's into wigs. I don't know if she has a line. Back to Potomac, I have ordered, you know, August, I ordered some La Dame perfume from Karen Huger, and I have not received it. It's December 13th. No.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the packaging problems and the shipping problems. Can we go back to Sonia Morgan, Danielle?
Yes. Sonia Morgan has, you know, we've been waiting for Sonia Morgan's toaster oven line for about 17 years, but before my children were born, I think. But I did order, she had a cool ring that was like a snake ring, and I was so excited. It was very reasonably priced. So I waited again several weeks. I had almost forgotten about it, maybe 8 weeks or something, maybe more. And I received a package from China with no branding, no return address, in, you know, suggesting it was from Sonia Morgan. Open up a box with just no branding at all about Sonia Morgan and the ring inside of it. She skipped the middleman herself and just ordered a ring from China. I mean, it's fabulous. I love it. But it was, you know.
But you're like,
she could have taken an extra couple days to brand it.
I did watch, there's a show where they help potential business owners. Like this guy decides whether he's going to invest with you or not.
And I know Profit?
Yes. So I watched The Profit, and that's the only reason I knew about this other Real Housewife that was trying to start like a salsa slash marinade line. And everybody was like, well, first of all, you can't call it Skinny Girl Salsa or whatever, because that's a trademark infringement. And it just really looked like she was accidentally, because she was like, it doesn't look anything like Bethany's thing. And it looked precisely like everything Skinny Girl. I'm like, no, it looks like Bethany all of a sudden made salsa. And it was funny. So who do we remember who that is? I can't remember her name, but she looked real housewifey. It was funny. It was my favorite. So
can I ask a question, you guys? So I've never seen one episode of any Housewives. And I'm
so
like
sad.
I'm very happy. I'm a very happy human being for that reason. That said, I am fascinated with you too, right? With the both of you, because I am also, I curate content, but my content that I curate is independent films and films from across the world and just, you know, good stories. And I think at the base of everything that I'm overhearing right now are, yes, they're offshoots, but at the base of it is the characters, even though they're, you know, and I'm doing the air quotes, even though they're real live people who are more or less faking it, but you really don't know. Regardless, they're providing you stories.
Right.
That you are then, of course, talking about. This happened and this happened and she did this and he did this. And I wonder if they would do this. That is great storytelling. And that's why these shows are so successful. So I want to give kudos to fans like you who make, again, storytelling in various arts in format is great
right.
for all of us. Now, again, some go towards documentaries. We're actually, they're talking about something that's actually happening in the world, which we should be aware of. And then some is just like, look, this is pure entertainment. This gives you a glimpse into somebody else's life, somebody else's world. You're a voyeur. And by the way, it's all out there. Everybody can listen to this and be as passionate about it as you guys are. The only, I guess I'm not even sure if this is a reality show, but you brought up The Prophet.
Right.
I like those kind of shows.
Yes.
Where somebody comes in with expertise and helps somebody else progress their career. So one of my favorite reality show of all time is Shark Tank.
Right.
I love watching entrepreneurs come up with ideas and then still get butchered in front of everybody else. So when you talk about Judge who says, do you really know cheerleading? Like, Mark Cuban or Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank does that with entrepreneurs. Like, this is a hobby and not a business. Go away, right? I'm not going to give you my money for this. So I can get passionate about that particular genre of reality show, whether it's competition and or whatever. But, I didn't have much to say when you guys were talking about all these different shows, because honestly, I'd never watched one. I know they exist. I've seen Andy Cohen do interviews with these women. So I know there's offshoots of offshoots of offshoots. And I love the coined phrase, Bravo Liberty. I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I wanted to at least chime in.
Red carpets all over the place, Jayden. They're just all over the place. And I think that that's a good point, is that there are such a variety of reality shows. And it's interesting because I feel like we'll go 15 to 18 years back is when everything started to become a reality show. Like, the teetering on 20, because that's when we were getting the things like The Bachelor and these other things that have been around now an incredibly long time. And we were looking at it like, well, this is back when we were having writer's strikes and things still in California and all these places where content needed to be less historically scripted. So not scripted in, not about historical content, but in what we were used to writing a TV screenplay, what looked like a sitcom, those things. I think it turned into, instead of it being completely scripted, it was more directed and produced. Because a lot of the shows on MTV, you can't tell, like the way that the people talk, it sounds so scripted. Like, because they're all terrible actors, and you can always tell a difference between a show where they're like, okay, like, hey, tell us about where, there's a storyline, and MTV, I think, has a lot of these kind of shows where it's like, okay, this is our son, we hate his girlfriend, we're going to have the parents talk, we're going to have the kids talk, and all this stuff, and they all sound so fake that even for a reality show, you're like, this does not sound right. And then you have other ones that really seem like an organic look into people's lives. And I think The Real Housewives kind of seems like that, because you're like, how many times can this person get drunk and fall into a bush and they're still going to let the camera follow them?
Luann.
I know, always fall into a bush.
But I want to go back to what Jayden said for a moment, because it's so important. Danielle and I have jobs outside of this podcast, right? And we, against what some people think, Danielle does more than just watch reality television. And I notice I said Danielle. The reality is that I too crave an incredible documentary or an incredible film. And when I'm seeking the kind of content and good storytelling and high production value, those are the things I go to. But late at night, when I want to, before bed or whatever it might be, when I just want to be totally mindless, my drug of choice is reality television.
That absolutely makes sense to me, because you don't have to be emotionally invested.
And I
take
that back. And I think that there's also like kind of a, there's to Jayden's point about, being a more of a true documentary. There are a couple shows that I think fit the bill of being, I don't know if I'd say educational, but much more documentary. And you don't know if the people on it are maybe conscious of the cameras or not. I think eventually they're not. But one example of that is Hard Knocks on HBO. And that looks into, a team, an NFL team right before the season. It looks at final cuts. It's very real. I mean, obviously people are mic'd up and maybe they're conscious of what they're saying. Another one that I think might be one of the best ones of all time is on Netflix. It's also football. It's called Last Chance U. And it's about people who are these guys who have been they are D1 players. They're right. D1 football players. And some of them are bounce backs from D1. Maybe they got arrested. Maybe they didn't make grades. Maybe they, you know, tell their coach to F off or something like that. Or other kids who should have been D1. They're incredibly talented, but they didn't make the grades, or they said had some kind of a problem before they could get there. And this is really their last chance to get to D1, which is the only way they're going to get to the NFL.
Right.
And you see some effed up crazy stories and some crazy coaches who are like kind of a-holes, but they have kind of a magic way of working with kids, and maybe they scream at them and it's a turnoff, but they can get something out of them and help these kids ultimately get out of, you know, the situation that they're in, which is where they think football is their only hope of, right. of going somewhere. It is a mind-blowing show.
As a fan of reality TV show, and I think that what you just got to is a good way to pivot into this, when do you think that it teeters on, it's okay for me as a voyeur to watch all of this, and when do you go, well, maybe this dips into exploitive territory?
That's a great question.
It's a really good question. I think 90 Day Fiancé sometimes feels a little exploitive.
Okay.
I would agree with that. And I think that occasionally some Housewives franchises do as well.
All right.
Because when we think about how many divorces have happened as a result of being filmed all of the time, there have been deaths of spouses that we've been privy to that have been really uncomfortable right. as a viewer. And the kids, you know, I really wonder the impact that some of these shows are going to have in the future on the children who grew up being filmed.
Right.
Their whole childhood.
Right. All right. So let's end on a positive note. And then I want to talk to you about you as the amazing multifaceted human beings that you are, because we are both doing other things. We want to make sure we shout that out before we end. But okay, both of you, and I'll let you ask. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to ask the question. I want you each to answer individually and then put your collective hyperbole podcast brain together and then make a recommendation. It could be the same. It could be different. So, Jayton and I, as fledgling reality show viewers, where, if we only have one show, where should we start?
If you like football, I would start with one of the ones I mentioned.
Okay.
There's another one on Bravo that doesn't get as much attention that has been interesting. And Jade made me think of it when he asked about kind of evolution within shows, and that's a show called Southern Charm. Yeah. And it started out, it sort of had these beautiful people that were, they're kind of losers, who some of them are descended from famous people. One of them is descended from John C. Calhoun, not just, you know, a terrible racist, but like an especially terrible racist, like a lover of slavery. Right. A lot of these people in South Carolina, you know, maybe if they're from long families, they have, you know, slave owner as past relations, you know, back in the day. But he's sort of the most well-known and most outrageous. They start the show several years ago where they're kind of, you know, playing up these longtime Southern families.
Right.
And then, you know, by now reality has caught up. It's still misogynistic.
Right.
It's still kind of effed up, but you've seen the people themselves realize the misogyny on the show.
Okay.
You've seen some of the people evolve themselves. You've still seen the evolution of like someone getting a new nose, and that still happens.
Okay.
But you see the evolution of some of those people themselves. You see in real life some of these people like getting arrested and having really, really effed up things happen, even kind of that are sort of famous politically in South Carolina. And now this season, you see this Calhoun statue being taken down from
wow.
a park. It'd been on the top 10 list of statues to come down. And you see his great, 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 great granddaughters on the show. And you still have new kind of characters. You've got this guy named John Pringle who sort of talks like Foghorn Leghorn. You still have like the, you know, kind of the ridiculous Southern love story. But you also have some real political things happening. And that is one where you get a little bit of everything.
All right.
You get something that's real and serious and something that's just total BS and eye candy.
Okay, I'm going to look into both of those. Amy, your turn.
I'm going to say Big Brother. I'm totally going somewhere else. Gotcha. And the reason why I think that's great, number one, it usually happens in the summer.
Okay.
So it's an easy time to get to dip your toe in the water. And number two, it's also a competition. So not only are you learning about the people on the reality level, but there are multiple storylines happening. And then you want to cheer for one for a variety of reasons, not only because of their personal life, but because of their the way that they can play a good game.
Okay.
And I think just a quick little thing. Big Brother is obviously international.
Yep.
They have Big Brothers all over. There are mm-hmm. different versions of it called Big Boss and whatever. So my mom actually is a big brother, big boss, big whatever, India. And that's all she talks about. So it's very fascinating because there's a big celebrity that will host that show in India. And every time like Sunday night is my mom's Big Brother. It's fascinating. And she made me watch it. In last week or something, I was over at their house and I was watching Big Boss India with the celebrity with the same concept as Big Brother, the exact same thing, but it was all in Hindi and some English. And I'm just kind of watching it. And she was like, "Don't you love it?" I'm like, I don't know. It wasn't. And again, I could understand everything, even though it was in different language and that was the language that I know, but it was, again, I was more excited than my mom was so excited. That was amazing. I'm like, 6 o'clock. I know not to bother you. That is your show, lady. You do this. You go.
Right.
But anyways, I got you.
I love it. All right. Now you get to pick one as a joint force.
Oh.
Well, I'm just glad that Amy didn't say the Bigfoot show because that's a real point of contention between us and it could have gotten real awkward.
It would have gotten messy.
Amy, what do you think is one that's just like sort of for the ages? I love your Big Brother one.
Danielle, I think that it might be The Bachelorette.
Oh, I have to disagree.
I didn't want to say it, but okay. All right. Wait. One disagree. For the ages. How about Selling Sunset, Danielle?
Oh, God. Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
We can agree on that.
We have come to a consensus.
It's okay. So bad. It's good.
Selling Sunset. What is
that? Yeah. What is that about? Yeah. Reality show?
Why don't you explain, Danielle?
Okay. So Selling Sunset really is manufactured. I mean, it is for sure scripted. You have a bunch of ladies who are apparently former escorts. It's never confirmed, but they all have like a lot of, they're in super fancy outfits, but they all have a lot of like, road hard, put away wet tattoos and stuff that you start to see. And they'll all be sitting in like a real estate office on their fake laptops that aren't even plugged in and that never been plugged, that aren't even on, but they're like typing as if they're looking at you know, properties. And then they'll have on almost every show of it, there'll be like an open house, but they only ever go to each other's open houses.
Okay.
All you need to know about it is this. It is Netflix version of Million Dollar Listing on Bravo. It's a little bit too little and a little too late.
Wow.
That's all I want to say.
Okay, Jade, now I'll watch that one. I'll go find Selling Sunset.
Yeah. Done.
All right, we got it. Well, we want to make sure that everybody, they can find your podcast. You're easy to find all over Instagram and Twitter and everything else. So they can go to Hyperbole Podcast. Look for @HyperbolePodcast. They can also go to your website, hyperbole.fun. I love your web address. That is fantastic. Do you guys also want to shout out some of the things that you do when you're not watching reality TV? Because I know, Danielle, you are a fantastic attorney. And Ms. Zeroff, you are also a fantastic event planner. So real quick, let's start with Danielle. What do you do during your day to day? And what would we find out if we follow you personally on your social media?
I'm hard to follow personally.
You guys have a reality show? You guys can start? Just come up with something? Look at your fake computers or something? I don't know.
I think we should. That's a great idea.
I love it.
I'll be in it just for the facial improvement or whatever that comes in season three. I don't, you know, my real job is in consumer credit, which isn't, you know, super sexy. I love the job though. Yes. It's great. My passion outside of pop culture and reality TV is voting rights. So I've done some work on that, but that is in my free time, not part of my regular job. Mm-hmm. Amy has a much more exciting and much more illustrious career than I do. So let's pivot to that.
Well, that's not true. Danielle's the smartest woman that I know. That's for sure. And I've known her since eighth grade.
Wonderful.
I own an event planning and production firm in the Twin Cities. We do events in non-COVID times all over the country. In COVID times, we do everything virtually. And my passion is connecting good people with good opportunities.
Right. And I appreciate you. That is how I met Amy, is working with her on an event for an organization here in the Twin Cities. So I really appreciate, Amy, you being in my circle and then bringing Danielle into our circle. We would love to have you on the show again. And if you want to talk about some stuff, like some geek stuff, Jayden and I, we're your folks. We got you on that. To find out more about our podcast and more about our good friends that we are talking to today from the Hyperbole podcast, you can go to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look for Be Our Geek Show. You can also email the show at beourgeekshow@gmail.com. And we do encourage you, you're welcome to call our line at 612-276-2774. Please like and subscribe to Be Our Geek wherever you find your favorite podcast. So thanks to both of you, Amy, Danielle, you were fantastic. I feel like I learned a lot. That is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And you'll come on, join us again, right?
Oh, yes. Thank you both. This was so much fun.
Thank you very much. And so, Jayden, I'm going to see you again soon. And everybody else, we appreciate you listening to Be Our Geek. We'll see you next time, because everyone is a geek about something.